Welcome back to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk Podcast, presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services, a leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio. Our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online, DonahueAccountingService.com. I'm your host, Alex Meacham, former Bearcat basketball player from 1997 to 1999 under the Hall of Fame coach, Bob Huggins.
And I'm Neil Meyer with the Front Office News.
And I'm JT Smith, editor-in-chief of the Front Office News.
All right, fellas, we're back for another episode. Let's jump right into it. The Bearcats are currently 18-13 after beating West Virginia 92-56. JT, thoughts on the Bearcats' performance?
Hey, man. Wow. Can we arguably say the best performance of the season, last game?
For sure.
You know, so it was dope. You got to see the walk-ons come in there, get some buckets. Whenever the walk-ons are in, it's either all bad or all good. And on Saturday, it was all good. And it was dope to see, you know, the fans turn up for this team, man. I feel like the Fifth Third Arena did a heck of a job. Want to get them their props. And then this team, man, after losing a tough game, a game that they had and let slip through the cracks, I think, you know, I feel like they played their most complete game of the season in this perfect time because they got the Big 12 tournament coming up, you know, on Tuesday. So, you know, it was good to see, man. A lot of people played real well. John came through for us. Had a heck of a game for his last game, at, you know, in Fifth Third Arena. And he did his thing. So we both look good on our players to watch on that one.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like at the end of the year, like the last 10 games, we kind of been – our percentage has been a lot better. So I want to pat ourselves on the back on that. At first, bro, we was pretty trash. So sorry to the Bearcats fans. Sorry to the players. I feel like we were almost cursing them. throughout the season, but I think they fought through it. They got tired of us, you know what I'm saying, kind of putting the little B curse on them for the people that know about that. You know what I'm saying? That's some nostalgia. You remember the little B curse, Meach?
Little B. Man, that was like that little short run little B had was crazy.
Crazy.
Man. People were
like, he was like, don't let me curse you. Like, he put the curse on him. James Harden had 13 turnovers in one game after Lil B put a curse on him.
He put a curse on James Harden.
he had like a triple-double the wrong way. It was crazy. It was like, yeah, like he had 13. He had his jersey number and turnovers, man. That was crazy.
That's crazy right there.
Hey, I feel like we put the little B curse on him, man. It's something. It was crazy.
Hey, JT, in two years, you've dropped two gems. First, you dropped Ugly Like Master P. The Little B Curse. God bless you, brother.
Appreciate it, man. Little B Curse, man. I had to bring that back. I think we put the Little B Curse on him, man. So I think we made it right with the base guy. You know what I'm saying? So stuff been going cool for us a little bit lately.
Oh, wait. So you just messed up my night because after the podcast, I plan to go to sleep, but now I got to watch some old Lil B videos. Those are so bad.
Hey, Lil B is a legend, man. You got to, man, he ain't been cursing people lately, man. So everybody been staying on the right side of Lil B, you know what I'm saying?
Damn you, Jake.
I think we must have did wrong. So he was cursing them like that. But now they've been doing all right. But
man.
They've been doing solid, you know what I'm saying? So that's all good. And but it was a good game, man. It was a good game. Like to see that they went out guns blazing, and everybody played well. Jamil had a heck of a game. Z's, I thought Day-Day, I mean, he had like what a game where he had like all five, he had like five steals, like over five. He had seven assists, 7 points, no turnover or something like that. Like five rebounds or something like that. He had a crazy stat line. Like, Jizzle did his thing, you know, Dan did his thing. So it was just like CMOS, you know, everybody contributed and they did West Virginia how we expected them to do them in Morgantown for real. keeping it all the way buck. But at the end of the day, better late than never. They beat them. And, you know, I was happy about the game, man. So my bad if I stole too much of your recap, Neil.
No, you're all good. You said Lil B curse, so you're good in my book. man, that's crazy. Hey, Neil, do you even know who Lil B is?
I've heard of him, but I'd have to Google him to see.
Oh, dude, please.
I'd have to look it up.
Please do that in Kansas City. Like, you will, man, look up like Lil B curse, like look up Lil B videos, and then look up like it's a couple that are pretty tight, and then it's like crazy. But then look up like Lil B curse. He like cursed Kevin Durant.
It was real.
Kevin Durant made amends. It was all good. He cursed John
Harden. Ben Simmons, did he?
Did he?
I don't know. Ben Simmons ain't touched the court in 3 years.
Nah, Lil B wasn't cursing people when Ben Simmons came. Ben Simmons then cursed himself.
Yeah, nah, that's cool. Hey, Neil, just so everybody knows, you're live from Kansas City. You're at the Big 12 tournament. It actually sounds like you're in a bathroom, even though you're not. I can tell you're not in a bathroom. It sounds like it, though. You're in an Airbnb, correct?
Correct.
Okay. How's Kansas City so far? I've been there. I like Kansas City.
Yeah, man, it's been great. I mean, I got in this afternoon at like around 4 o'clock. Had to stop at Joe's Barbecue. You already know how that was, Meech. I know you had to try it when you were out here.
Absolutely. No. You know, I don't. You know, I'm plant-based eater, bro.
Oh, then you haven't had it.
You plant-based. He out here. Yeah, here's some natural herbs and spices.
Barbecue, man, absolute fire.
Yeah, I'll leave that to you, bro. That's all you, dog.
Hey, people don't know is Joe's is literally a little gas station. They have like 3 or 4 pumps outside. And, bro, when I'm telling you go in there, you stand in line, right? The line will go all the way out the door, wraps around like literally the gas pumps outside. You order your food and it's ready for you in literally under 5 minutes. Mm. Like, it is crazy. And it's so good. So good. But yeah, I was telling JT before we came on, I took a walk around T-Mobile earlier this afternoon. And I think that's the biggest difference from this conference tournament to the AAC conference tournament is the amount of fan engagement opportunities that Brett Yormark and the Big 12 are doing compared to what the AAC was last year down in Dallas and Fort Worth. I mean, it's incredible. Like, they have 4 or 5 streets blocked off right now for fan activities, fan fest. They're doing like a fan fest and stuff tomorrow for like, they've been doing one every day for the women's tournament. They're doing it again for the men's. Like, it's a huge opportunity to get involved and build brands and whatnot. So it's a great way to draw people in. I will say this, there is a lot of Kansas State and Kansas fans. I mean, seen a couple of Texas fans, but predominantly anywhere you go, like, I swear I've seen a Kansas State fan.
Yeah, I believe it. Hey, that T-Mobile Center is nice, man. You'll like it on the inside.
Yeah, that's where they had Big 12 Media Day. So I've been in there before. It's a nice arena.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Well, hey, give us your thoughts on the West Virginia game.
Yeah, they did what they had to do. And, I mean, it was something we talked about on the last podcast in terms of keys to the game. And that was eliminate Jesse Edwards. And they did just that. I mean, he finished with 9 points and I think 4 rebounds. You win the rebounding margin by, I think it was 14 plus. Like, anytime you can hold Jesse Edwards to a 9-4 kind of night, like, you're content right there, especially after he came off a 36-13 versus TCU heading into Cincinnati. But, man, that West Virginia team just looks lost. I mean, I'll say heading into this one as well, they looked lost on Saturday. Like, they just did not want to be there.
I agree.
The front court, we talked about it. They had to hold it down. You get a perfect 10-for-10 from Azeez Bandego and Jamil Reynolds combined for, I believe it was 22 points and 10 rebounds, or it was 22 points and I think 16 rebounds, if I remember right. Let me double check that, because Jamil had 3 rebounds and Azeez had 7. So, yeah, you get a combined 22 points and 10 rebounds from the two, which is a fantastic performance, especially – any day those two can go 10-for-10 combined from the field, it's a good day. And then Dan Skillings was fantastic, finished with 17 points, 4 rebounds, 5-for-8 shooting. Very efficient night, but man, John Newman. I thought John Newman was fantastic. 14 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists on 7-for-10 shooting. The only 3 shots he missed were from behind the arc. So, I mean, he's a perfect 7-for-7 inside the 3-point line. Man, I thought his defensive effort on Raekwon Battle was phenomenal. I mean, we talked about it. He needed to have one of those elite defensive performances. He holds Raekwon Battle to 9 points, and this was the Raekwon Battle came into this game. I think he put up 20 in 4 of the last 5 games. You hold him to 9 on Saturday. It just solidified me personally. John Newman's spot on the Big 12 defensive team was solidified a month and a half ago, but to see him get honored and recognized for a Big 12 defensive all-conference team as well following his senior day was well respected and earned. So we have to give our flowers to John Newman on that as well.
Love it. So on my end, sorry, I apologize for my voice, man. So what happened was I did a podcast on Saturday at Mio's, and my mic was a little lower, so I had to like literally yell like during the entire hour podcast, and then talking at the game Saturday at tryouts for AU on Sunday. My voice is shot, so I apologize. So no issue on how they played on my end. Took care of business. Love that we were up at half. What were we up at half, Neil?
Yeah.
Like 36. What do we have? 36 points? I don't know. I don't have you have the stats.
At halftime, it was 36-29.
36-29. Then we put them to rest in the second half. Love it, man. No issues. What was their leading score was what? Farrakhan 12 points, something like that.
Farrakhan 12, yep.
We talked about JT. We talked about not letting anybody come in Fifth Third Arena and ball out.
Yeah,
right?
We talked about that. Sure.
Nobody did.
Yep. It was like to the next level on Saturday. I was like, oh, snap.
Man.
Like, damn, you ain't let my man get double digits. They stopped Raekwon Battle. Like, it was, they did what they supposed to do.
Talking about it too, 48 points in the paint. We have to talk about that.
Yeah, listen, all the stuff we talked about last podcast, I feel like they did everything.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like there's nothing we can really criticize.
Yeah, for sure. Like it was like they listened. They all listened to it together. Had a powwow.
Coach Miller needs to play our podcast before the game.
Okay. Prove him right or prove him wrong. You feel me?
No doubt. I was happy to see John Newman play well in front of the family. Not only that, I've said this before, and both of you guys have echoed this same sentiment. I think John Newman goes down as just one of those Bearcats, man. That, you know, and I think people will appreciate John Newman even more next year when we don't have him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They'll be like, dang, John Newman was super valuable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was glad to see him finish up his career like that. I was glad that people got to see some glimpses of what we've been talking about, and that is how special Jameel could be.
Yeah.
You know, there were a couple moves he had. I'm like, those were big time moves. And I'm like, just wait till we have that full off season with him. Weight room, conditioning, footwork. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Him and Aziz, man, you get a full no stress off season.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Just life. You know what I'm saying? Not worrying about playing. If something happened, you know, God forbid anything happened like that. But just like, you know, before that, that's got to be the weight of your world on the shoulder. You got knowing you're going to play. You know your coach is fighting for you, then you get to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Jameel, he was the one, like, if he could have played, but it wasn't overturned all the way. So, like, if he played, he could have lost eligibility.
Yes, yes. You know?
So, it was like
a lot. Don't have to worry about any of that shit.
Yeah, this offseason will just be fresh. You know, Coach Miller gets the hands on him. Rayfield and them get their hands on him the whole time. He gets to acclimate himself. He gets to play in the secret scrimmages.
Hey, you gonna pause that before?
Yeah, pause.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Pause that. For some, but like they get his hands on. That's wild. But oh shoot, we have my base. That's wild. But yeah, they get to work with him. He gets to be in the building every day. He gets to be on the court with the, you know, whatever limitations they have. But they get to be on the court, get to get coaching, get to play in the scrimmages. So they'll have to be on the side. Just for sure. You know what I'm saying? So
for sure. Hey, the last couple things I have, it was great to see the walk-ons get in, Landon, Chase, CJ, even see Sage get in there. You know, it just means it's a festive time when those guys get in, usually on the positive side, being up. And then, man, Landon, I told Landon after the game, I said, I love you, man. You came in firing that bad boy. He shot that three from – he said, man, this is going up. There was no question. And then I was like, I don't know what I liked more, the three or your celebration after the three. Hey, I asked him about that, and he was like, I didn't know what to do. He was like, I don't ever make a bucket. He's like, I just didn't know how to feel. He's like, I just went crazy. I was like, hey man, you're good, man. Just have fun. And then Chase, to see Chase get in there, Kirkwood, and I joke with Chase after the game. You know, after Landon had scored, then Chase has the ball. Man, Chase dribbled 35 times trying to. He was trying to get a ball screen. He was trying to get that shot off. He was like, I was not passing that. So I'm glad to see him, you know, go to the free throw line and knock both of those down. And by the way, like, Landon's a great kid, man, out of Mason High School. Just a solid, solid kid. Chase Kirkwood, man, I'm telling you, is like, he's such a high character kid who he's just got life figured out. He's getting married. I'm going to his wedding this summer. He's getting married, knows what he wants to do. Just really solid, solid, solid kid. So, lastly, it was great to see my guy Hugs in the building. I didn't make it down to say hello to him. I couldn't figure out where he was. And then, I didn't know where he was because I got there a little late because I was doing my podcast and, I was looking around the ring. I couldn't find him. And then someone said he was in one of the club. Somebody texted me and said, oh, Hugs is here in the club or whatever. And I guess they showed him on the screen, but I went to the restroom and they showed him on the screen. So I didn't see him. So yeah. And then after the game, he left and went back to West Virginia. So I missed him. But it was good to see my former teammate, Kenyon Martin. Yeah, good to see big Ken. I chopped it up with Ken after the game we went back to the locker and we talked for about 20, 30 minutes. I met his son Cam. He was there on a visit. So it's good to meet Cam. I've never met Cam. So it was cool. I talked to him for a little bit. So that was good to see as people were saying royalty in the building. And that's always good to see, man. So hey, that's all I got on the West Virginia game. But guess what? We turn around, we take them on again, play West Virginia on Tuesday at 3 p.m. in Kansas City.
Right back
at it. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. Let's jump into the Big O segment sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. In this segment, we cover players to watch and key matchups. JT, who should we look out for from the Bearcats? Can you stay on a roll, JT?
Man, the whole team. Nah, but nah, for real. But all right, so I'm gonna go Dan Skillings, man. Honestly, he just got, you know, Big 12 honorable mention. I think he's gonna have a big game. Have a sort of a coming out party per se, hopefully. And I think he's gonna have, you know, he's team leading scorer. I think he'll have 14 to 17 points, 5 to 8 boards, and just he's gonna have a clean game. He's gonna play real smart, and everybody's gonna love how he plays. So I'm going with Dan. He affects the, you know, hopefully, you know, they just beat him by what, 40 something. Hopefully they can, you know, maybe not a 40 ball, but maybe they can get 22.
Okay, you said 22.
Yeah, sound like
you said. I'm sorry, you said Bearcats by 22.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Bearcats by 20. How many do you think Dan's going to drop?
I say 14 to 17.
14 to 17. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope you're right again.
Yep.
All right, Neil. It's on you. Now, we kind of did this before, but who do we need to watch from West Virginia? You have anybody different, or are you going with the same usual suspects?
I think you got to go with the same two usual suspects, Jesse Edwards and Raekwon Battle. I mean, Cincinnati did a great job at eliminating Jesse Edwards on Saturday, And it's going to be interesting to see what Josh Eiler takes away from Saturday's performance heading into Tuesday's performance, because, I mean, we've all talked about it. It's never easy facing the same opponent twice throughout a season, back to back. It's a lot of things that are uncommon, so they can probably, they probably watch the film. I mean, it was a blowout. It looked like West Virginia didn't even want to be there. But you watch that film, and then you're like, oh, we got 40 ball. And then you're like, okay, well, what can we do to take away from this and kind of build something heading into the offseason, especially after – but if they want to make a run in the NC, or the Big 12 tournament, I mean, who knows with West Virginia right now what's going to happen after the season. So do you end on a good note? That's what they're trying to do. But right now, sitting at, I believe, 9-22 where they're at, they're just kind of fighting to get through the season, it feels like. I mean – for those who watched Josh Eiler's press conference after the game on Saturday, just kind of feel like he was deflated. It's been a long season, especially dealing with everything he had to deal with this season. But overall, I mean, Raekwon Battle, Jesse Edwards, those are going to be your two leading scorers for West Virginia. I mean, if John Newman can have another performance or an elite defensive performance on Raekwon Battle, that'll be a great sight to see. But overall, Raekwon Battle is the leading scorer for West Virginia, and then Jesse Edwards there in the front court. But it's still going to be another interesting matchup to watch, because as we talked about earlier, Aziz Bandego, Jamil Reynolds go perfect from the field. Now, will those two be able to go perfect again on Tuesday? That's still yet to be determined, but Jesse Edwards, they're going to have to find a way to get him going early if they want to win this game, especially with the status of Victor Lockin still up in the air. It's going to be an interesting matchup there, and to see how Jesse Edwards responds.
All right, you know what time it is. All right, Bearcat fans, it's time for the name game with Neil Meyer. This is where we take an opposing team's roster, pick players, and have Neil Meyer try to pronounce their names. Now, so we're not going to do West Virginia, okay? So I picked another school. And on this one, JT, it's a little different. Some of the names aren't as crazy to say, but I just think they're interesting names. So, Neil, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
I want you to go to the Montana Grizz website. University of Montana, the Grizz. And let me know when you are there.
I am all there.
You are all, are you sure? You're all there?
Yes, sir. I'm off that website.
All right. The name game, Neil Meyer, coming live from a bathroom in Kansas City. Here we go.
It's not actually a bathroom, folks.
Sounds like it. It doesn't look like it in the picture, but all right. Number, and JT has to appreciate this. Number 0.
Money Williams.
Oh, that's fire.
My guy's first name is Money.
And you know he's shooting nothing but cash, too.
Oh, boy.
Hold on. We got to see his stats. If you got a first name like Money, you got to be averaging 20 a game, right?
Hey, I hope so. Low-key, that is a
tough one. Freshman, though. He a freshman. He got a freshman.
Hey, he did put up 25, though, this season.
That's a tough name, man. Money.
That is tight. That's a pretty tight name, actually.
He's averaging 17 points a game, though. So, I mean, good for him.
No doubt. Money about to get up out of there. He about to get the NIL jumping if that's what he averaged.
Amen.
He's
averaging 13.4 per game, but he missed like a whole month.
Money's legit.
That's a good name for NIL.
Money, yeah, for sure. For sure.
All about that money. All right. Number 11. And more the first name.
Number 11. Anan Moody.
Yeah, that's a odd first name. A-A-N-E.
Yeah, that is.
How do you say it?
North Dakota. I'm going to go with Anan.
Anan?
Anan.
What do you think, JT?
Anan? Or, I don't know. Maybe it's Anin. Oh, no. That's an interesting name for real. I never seen that name in my life.
I haven't either. All right, number 21.
Number 21 is Leilu Oak.
Let me spell this for the people. L-A-O-L-U-O-K-E. Say it again, Neil.
Leilu Oak.
Oh, he switched it up a little bit.
He switched it up.
He said, ook. Ook. All right. And the last one, and I want to talk about this last name. Number 23.
I knew you would say it once I saw it. Connor Dick.
Pause.
And what's crazy about that is
she related to Grady.
I tried to look it up, and he's not. So I Google searched his name to see. You got to be careful Google searching.
You got that's wild. That's wild. Yeah. You have to put everything in there. That's like when I do sporting goods, I'll be like paranoid. Like if I'm on work, like, hold on, I ain't doing that just in case you get happy fingers or something. That's wild. Yeah.
Yeah. So I typed his name into Google search, and the first thing that popped up, he just got a DUI. And I was like, oh boy, like that's not good.
he got a DUI? He out here in the Montana streets.
Yeah.
He's sleeper. Yeah.
Not good. And listen, that's a bad thing. I'm not trying to. I first thing I Googled, I was like, oh Lord. But I was trying to find if he was related to Grady, and he's not. But I do want to say this. So I was watching, I forget what I was watching, but Grady Dick plays for the Raptors, correct?
Yep.
So the Raptors, I don't know if we talked about this, but the Raptors play-by-play guys, like the guys that do their like their TV for them. The one announcer, he keeps saying like some wild stuff, and I don't know that he means to do it. Because he's a little older.
Yeah.
But the guy who's on the broadcast with him that does the color, I think is a former player. I couldn't pick up on who it was. And he kept getting mad at the play-by-play guy. He was like, hey, man, you can't say that. Because it was like, Nick looking real strong right now. And the color guy's like, hey, man, you can't say that. So this is live, like, during the games.
Nice.
They would go back and forth. So the former player got to the point and he went, look, we can't call him Grady Dick anymore. He's like, it's Richard. So he calls him Grady Richard during the entire every game.
Oh.
Yes. He's like, Richard looking good out there. <'Cause he don't... laughs>
Call him Grady Richard.
I was like, this is wild.
That's super wild. But I used to be thinking about that when I watched Big 12 games last year, though. They used to be crazy. Like,
man.
Getting hot. I'd be like, oh, this is crazy. Like, man, really shoot. Like, what's going on here? Like, I'm like, you got to pay me double for to announce his game.
Yeah, for sure.
I would be bad. That would be rough. Because you can't.
Grady Dick with the penetration. Yeah,
I would just call him Grady. Like, Grady's been playing real well. They'd be like, what's wrong with dude? He got problems. Nah, man, he's not about to have me out here becoming a damn meme or imitation because I'm saying the way I'm saying bro's name. Like, yeah, like he's on fire right now. He's real cold. Like,
yeah, you gotta be careful.
He gets going. You can't stop him. Wow, like, that's crazy.
Too much. Crazy.
You know his middle name. I would call him his middle name like his mother. Brady Nathaniel.
Hey, listen. We still need to do at the end of the year. We're gonna put together like our top names. Okay.
Like a Big 12 or like an all team or something like that.
We should do the all team. That's what it is. All team.
First team and second team, or are we going?
Yep. We'll do that. We'll do first team, second team.
That'd be fair.
We know a couple names that are going to be on that first team.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
Yuck.
Yeah, Yak is definitely on there. Ain't no It's End of Us.
And Pause.
Man, Pause on there. They definitely first teamers.
We gotta move on. The Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. All right. My player to watch from the Bearcats. I was battling between picking two players. I want to roll with CMOS as the player to watch. I think West Virginia is just a good matchup for him. So I'm going to go with CMOS. The one I battled with was Jameel. I was hoping he got a little confidence from that last game, and they fed him the ball down low. But ultimately, I'm going to go with CMOS, hoping CMOS has a big game. He's playing with more and more confidence. Like, you can see him. He dropped a dime, didn't he, that West Virginia game? Was that the game? He threw a great pass.
Yeah, he was balling.
Yeah, so hoping he continues balling. Real quick, before we move on to the next thing, Neil, I forgot to ask you this earlier. Any updates on Vic?
Yeah, obviously he wasn't able to go Saturday. It looked like he kind of was able to do a little bit of stuff pregame. I know prior to the Oklahoma game, he was in a boot during warmups. West Virginia, he was still unable to go, but you don't have a full update yet on how things are trending right now for his status versus West Virginia. We'll know a little bit more heading into West Virginia earlier tomorrow morning, but hopefully things start to trend in the right way. Obviously, knowing an ankle injury, it's never really, you never know what you're getting yourself into, but it's still something that is up in the air. And then same thing goes for CJ Frederick as he's recovering from that hamstring injury.
Yeah, glad you brought up CJ. Appreciate that, because I forgot to ask about that. The Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. Do you have a business that needs better inventory control, production management, or improved accounting control? Outgrown QuickBooks or can't afford NetSuite? Give Loyal Bearcat grads Doug and Kathy Jacobs at Smart Dog Solutions a call. They have been in your position and would love to help you solve your problems. You can contact them at 513-739-9473 or online, smartdog-solutions.com. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Kenyon segment is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. This is where we cover the keys to the game. JT, what do the Bearcats need to do to win?
Man, I'll rebound them again. Just go ahead, keep the turnovers low again. And just keep going. Use the momentum of Saturday. Start off, just blitz them. Because if you don't blitz them, you give them a little bit of hope. Blitz them. Get them out. Start off even faster than Saturday. And just get that momentum in the second half from the jump. And just, they don't want to play. Just go ahead and get them out there early. Send them home. Send them back to West Virginia ASAP. So everybody can start figuring out what they're going to do after the fact. And then the Bearcats can live for another day. And that's what I say. Just keep the momentum going. I know it's hard to translate. Every game's a different game. But at the same time, when you beat somebody by 40, you got to feel like you're a better team. You're a superior team. And you got to, as soon as they put the ball up there, pause for tip off, pause. You got to make sure you impose your will, man. Just punch them in the mouth. And then after you just beat a team by 40, it's going to show if they want to play anymore. If you go on a 10-2 run or 15-1 run on them from the jump, just start it off, start fast and see what happens. Because they might just fold like a lawn chair. They do. Then you playing with, super house money, and you get got Kansas coming up the next day. So we'll see, man. I just feel like you just impose your will on them. Take care of the ball. Don't shoot stupid shots because you beat them by 40. Take the same good shots you were taking on Saturday, and just beat them up, man. Like just treat them like Anthony Joshua treated old boy on Friday.
Treat him like he treated Anthony Joshua, knocked out Francis Ngannou.
Yeah.
That was
you see, Yeah, you got to treat them like that, man. That's what they did to him in the second half. They did them just like that. So treat them like that from the jump. And that's how I'm feeling right now on this game, on that game.
Nice. Now, Neil, listen. JT predicts the Bearcats will win by, what was it, 22?
Yeah, go for 22. I want a 20-plus point win.
20-plus point win. So, Neil, what do the Bearcats need to do to make that happen?
I think it's pretty easy. Limit the turnovers. Keep that number low from what they had the other day. But I say you got to score more than 48 points in the paint. I mean, that was something they exploded on Saturday, was they were able to just absolutely manhandle West Virginia in the paint. And if they can go out and have another 48 points in the paint come tomorrow, that'd be pretty incredible. If they can do that, I think they get the job done. But also just limit the turnovers. Just come out to a hot start, play your game. Obviously, your momentum is rolling high, knowing that you just beat this same exact team by 36 just a few days ago. But overall, I'm not going to predict a 20-point win. I'm going to predict an 18-point win. I'm going to be really close, but I'm saying they're going to win by at least 18.
Okay, Neil. The Kenyon segment is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. So one thing I think for this game in particular, it's a two-part. The Bearcats need to come in with that same confidence that they did just the other night. Right, or the other day, excuse me, the senior day. Same confidence, but at the same time, don't come in overconfident. That's a very dangerous thing, because if the Bearcats come in overconfident to this game on Tuesday, they could lose. They already lost to them one time, right? Who's to say that West Virginia team won't show up again? So I think the Bearcats need to be confident, but don't be overconfident. I have a very good feeling that Wes is going to have this team ready and prepared. You think about it. So if we win this game, that puts us at 19 wins. Correct, Neil?
Correct.
If they win against West Virginia, they potentially play who on Wednesday, Neil?
They would play a very beat-up Kansas squad who is without Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough for this week's Big 12 tournament, which is Kansas' top two leading scorers.
So you look at a team like Kansas and others. I often think that, you know, with conference tournament games, the teams that are the better teams in the conference that may have already solidified their NCAA positioning and all that good stuff, to me, some of them look at it as like, hey, we just want to be healthy going in the NCAA tournament. So let's not go to the Big 12 tournament and get hurt. Let's get our guys healthy. So I would think that we could beat Kansas, right? You guys agree with that? Based on where they are, they may be thinking, hey, let's stay healthy and get the hell out of here. Get ready for the NCAA tournament. So
for sure, 100%. I think, like, because you know, Kansas right now, they kind of thinking like, man, I got bigger fish to fry right now.
Yeah,
as you know. They got McCullough being out, you know, he was battling injury. So they probably like, look, hey, we done beat some top tier teams. We play in the best conference in basketball. Let's just be ready for the tournament and see what happens.
Yep.
But if, you know, if those dudes are, you know, with Dickinson, him having a shoulder injury, then that week or week and a half that they may have off, it's going to be key. So, you know, and then McCullough battling a knee injury, right? I think so. You need him. He's going to have to, you know, carry a lot of extra weight with Dickinson being, you know, half a person probably, you know, with his shoulder. So, yeah, man, it plays well for the Bearcats because they need a few wins for sure to have any kind of hope. And if you can beat a Kansas team, even with them all not playing, I think that still holds weight with the selection crew. And who knows?
What do you think that does? If that gives you 20 wins, if they beat Kansas, that gives you 20 wins, and gosh, yeah. How many of those 20 are Big 12?
Well, they're sitting at the
You have 9 wins in the Big 12 play all the way, you know, counting the tournament. If you get that, which is fair. I mean, I watch, you know, on the Joe Lunardi thing right now, the Bearcats are in that last, I mean, it's 12 teams. Is it 12 teams on that list? I think there's like last four out, the next four, the Bearcats on the other line. So, you know, you win two games may put you super close. If you win three or more, you may have a chance to sneak in there and backdoor a couple teams. And
pause.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You know what I'm saying? You might backdoor that pause and get in there. And if you could be in one, if you can get to Dayton somehow, it doesn't matter. You never know. I've seen crazier things. Teams that made runs.
UCLA.
You know, so, you know, it's happened. And they're in the last four, and they play in the first four, and stuff shakes out well for them. So, you know, they got to take it one game at a time. They can't look ahead. And when they have a team in a dire position, they cannot allow them to crawl out. They can't start playing goofy. Not in the tournament. This would be the perfect time to string a couple wins together. So,
yeah, I hope they can do it. Hope they can put it together, make a good little run. We all know they need it, and I think it'll be a good confidence booster for these players, for this program. You know, because, you know, fans are sometimes up and down. You know, when the team loses, when they win, everybody's excited. So this team can find a way to sneak into the NCAA tournament. Man.
Yeah. Yeah,
crazy, because if they go – say they make it to – they beat West Virginia. Say they beat Kansas. So that's two. Kansas would be guaranteed a quad one victory, even despite not having Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough. That would give them seven quad one or quad two wins on the season. Going into Baylor, I mean, you look down at the resume. Yeah, the record might say 20 and what is it, 11 roughly, or whatever it may be. You're looking down. If you can have seven quad ones or quad two wins, seven, so they'll be sitting at 20 and 13. But you look down at the schedule, you have the wins versus BYU. That's a quad one. TCU is another quad one. You look down, you have UCF, which was a quad two win. Texas Tech was a quad one. UCF was a quad two. Then Kansas State was a quad two. So you're sitting right there in good position already, despite the record. The Big 12, if you can make a run in the Big 12 tournament, there's still a chance you can slide in. But they're going to need to go into Kansas City and make some noise. And if they can go through and win versus West Virginia and Kansas, I think they're playing with house money right there, especially being already on the bubble. If they can find a way to win three in the conference tournament, it's going to get interesting.
Let's hope they can do it. So if they can have that confidence to make that run, that confidence is going to start Saturday at 3 p.m. The Kenyon segment, Keys to the Game, was sponsored by Greg Hood and the Beachmont Toyota. Come see fellow Bearcat Greg Hood and the Beachmont Toyota for all your Toyota needs, cars, trucks, and SUVs. Greg Hood and the Beachmont Toyota is ready to help you get into your new Toyota. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. This is where we cover hot topics. All right, I got one for you guys. So, once again, no prep. I didn't tell you guys about this because I really want you guys to kind of go off the cuff with this one. So here's how I came up with this one. So at the Bearcat game versus West Virginia, I had a good buddy of mine, Brandon Robinson, with me. He coaches high school basketball at North College Hill. He coaches some of my AU teams, a Shining Star. So I took him to the game. After the game was over, I took him down to the locker room. We went to the back, and Kenyon Martin was back there, and I introduced him to Kenyon Martin. And so we sat there. We chopped it up, like I said, for about 20 and 30 minutes. And so we were getting ready to get up, blah, blah, blah. And Brandon, you know, said to Kenyon, like, hey, man, you mind if I get a picture with you? Kenyon's like, oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. So they take a picture together. And Brandon says to me as we're leaving, like, man, that's like the one dude I always wanted to meet, like, I always wanted to meet Kenyon, like out of all of them. And I'm like, oh, man, that's what's up. And even doing the podcast at Mio's, my guest was Steve Logan. There were several people there that were like, man, Steve, you're like my favorite player like ever. And this is the first time I met you. It's been really cool to meet you. So it got me thinking, for you guys, if you guys could meet one person, okay, doesn't even have to be sports related, could be dead or alive. If you could meet one person in history, who would it be? JT, I'm going to start with
one person. Oh, man, I'm about to Okay, I was gonna give y'all a deep answer, but one person, Halle Berry.
What? Wait.
A deep answer, like with some thought, sports stuff, or like just people, like random people.
I'm just talking about like people. Wait a minute. Out of all the people in the world in history, you said Halle Berry.
Yes, but she's married now. I'm married, but still, Halle Berry.
So JT, you know she used to be in Cincinnati all the time, right? I've seen her before.
Word?
Yeah.
She's from Cleveland.
Well, so you know she was married to David Justice, and he lived in Mount Adams.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that would have been bad. If I was of age, I probably would have gotten arrested or something.
we would leave the bars at Mount Adams sometimes when I don't know if it was when I was in college or just right out of college, and David Justice would drive by and she'd be in the car.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I ain't do my recon. I was tripping.
Man.
Yeah, Halle Berry, bro. But like on a serious note, I guess on a serious note, like, all right, somebody like, I don't know, man, who I want to meet that I had like on a serious note, Halle Berry would be the one. I guess I'll give myself two to have I do have some kind of profound thoughts. Would probably be like, let's see. Probably be like, oh no, I probably want to meet like Malcolm X or something.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, like Malcolm X or like Muhammad Ali. Because I felt like.
I thought you were going to say Muhammad Ali.
Like those two, because they're kind of intertwined a little bit too. Like, because the thing is, like, he had such a radical thing. He was doing some positive stuff, but then he saw it was like more out there, but he still was doing positive stuff. And then because his voice got so big, people wanted to shut him up, even on his side. So I would like just to see, like, you know, and he, you know, his history, like when he came up, he did some bad stuff, but then he start, you know, trying to help our people, which was dope. I think he would just have so much good knowledge to give, and just like a conversation with him probably would be pretty dope. So that would be the person, probably Malcolm.
Did you see the movie?
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah, for sure. Likely his thing. Huh?
If you remember from the movie, do you remember Malcolm X's real name?
Was it Shabazz? No.
The original.
No, something little. It's something little, right?
Well, he was Malik El Shabazz. That was one name, but his I guess you would call it his birth name, I guess. Yeah. You remember it?
I can't remember by heart.
Malcolm Little.
All right. Malcolm Little. I knew it was Little, but I couldn't think of the first name. I didn't know if he changed it all the way or not.
Malcolm Little. Do you remember what city he was born in?
Nope.
Omaha, Nebraska.
So that's so many jokes.
Huh?
That's so many jokes.
It doesn't even seem like he's from Omaha, Nebraska.
I just thought about Belly right there. Soon you said Omaha, Nebraska. The Method Man part.
Yeah. Nebraska.
That part. And then you think of Bud Crawford. Omaha. That's it.
Yeah, Bud's from Omaha. Yep.
That's right. All I got from Omaha. You give me Bud Crawford and then Belly. My man's eating the banana paws. I don't know. I don't like this shit.
Oh man, I love
Neil. Probably never seen Belly either.
Who, Neil?
Neil definitely Neil. Never seen Belly.
Yeah, it's no.
There's no way he's seen Belly.
No way.
It's no way.
Neil, have you ever heard of Belly?
Nope.
If you seen Belly, then it's some
DMX, DMX, Nas.
I've heard of him, but I haven't seen him.
Man.
Wow. Okay, that's all right.
It's fair. It's all good. I wouldn't expect you to see that. If you saw that, then it's some cultured people in the Oak Hills district. And I don't think. I got it.
Nope. Oh man. I'm anxious to hear Neil's because usually Neil's is, you know, from a certain age bracket. But I'm interested to see if he goes back in history. Neil, if you could meet one person in history, dead or alive, who would it be? Don't say like Justin Timberlake, please.
one person in history. That's a good question.
Right. You had all this time to think.
I know. Obviously,
he goes, that's a good question.
Here.
Going all the way back in history, I would want to meet Wilt Chamberlain for a sporting aspect.
Okay.
Because I'm tired of people saying he didn't put up 100, but he did put up 100. That debate,
Hey, there's no video. There's no video.
There's no video.
It's so funny though, because there's no video. And then it was like they showed him like in like 4K, like choking somebody out or something like that.
What?
It was like him like arguing with somebody, like, but you know they didn't record, like it wasn't on, you know, stuff wasn't on TV the same, but he was like getting into it with a Celtics player or something. Like it was like almost a fist fight or something. And it was like somebody re-imaged it and it was like super clean. He was like, why do we got this video, but we ain't got nothing on when he scored 100?
Man.
Hey, the internet is ruthless, man. It'll take away the facts, too, sometimes, too. So, yeah. But it's funny.
The internet is ruthless.
Sporting aspects, I would have to say, anybody in history, I got to go Wilt Chamberlain, or growing up, I was a big Derek Jeter fan, and I read his book when I was younger called The Captain. I believe that's what it was called, if I remember right. There's a book that came out, like a autobiography, that made me become a big Derek Jeter fan. So I'll say those two.
Okay. All right. What do you think about that, JT?
That's fair. Solid.
Okay.
Jeter is a, it's like a low-key icon. Like, it's a good dude. Probably want to meet. And like pre-marriage Jeter probably is like, I done heard some wild stories. Like, Jeter is tight.
Yeah, he used to go on a lot of dates, right?
Yeah, like he had make him sign him in with them NDAs, bro. He was fired with that. Or he used to call him Girls Blocked. Call him Blocked.
Man.
And smart. They would just, if they was down, it was going down. If they wasn't, he just move on.
Move on. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Hey, that was A. Hey.
That's why Neil wants to meet him. He wants to learn all the tricks.
Yeah, you gotta learn the tricks, man. Hey, Jeter's legit.
The Twyman segment is sponsored by Dairy Cleaners. all right, let me jump to mine. Probably not what you guys would expect.
You have to say
guess. Jay-Z.
No, not Jay-Z. I'm a meet Jay-Z soon, so I'm not even tripping on that. JT, what would you say?
You're gonna say Prince.
No, not even Prince. Not even Prince. Not Jay-Z. It's in the music side.
You don't say. Don't say Taylor Swift.
No, but that, hey, I'd like to meet her, but that's not
who I was going
to
say. Taylor Swift is the one. All right. Let's see.
That's where I'm
going. I'm going to let you go now.
All right.
I'll stay with you, Prince, but.
Tupac. Tupac.
Oh, man. So you want to meet Tupac with Death Row or Tupac before he got shot or Tupac? At like during the row, like where it was dangerous, you had to probably have a vest on.
I would say the Tupac right before Death Row. Because here's my thing. This is why I've always wanted to meet Tupac. I always say this. How wild would it be if you've got like a Throwback Thursday pick and it's you and Tupac? Like, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, that's pretty lit.
That would be crazy, but. So there's a couple things with Tupac that's always fascinated me. I think his energy was just so infectious, just around, like you'd hear people talk about him and just how his personality was. Like he wasn't a real big guy, but he always dominated every room he was in just from his like infectious, like positive energy. And I feel like he was a misunderstood person from if you really like dive deep into like documentary.
Oh, sure.
Right. If you dive deep into like stories on him, people will tell you how smart that man is. So he dated Quincy Jones's daughter. Just the people that he's been around have said like this guy really thought on a whole nother level. And it would have been fascinating to see what he would have done if he would have lived. He was alive in 2024, who he would have transformed into. Because I've always felt like Tupac was playing a game when he was making music. And here's what I mean by that. His music really had a message and it had like a pattern. So if you ever noticed, I know, Neil, you were too young for this, but JT, you might remember this, but Tupac would drop a song for the streets. He would drop like Still Ballin', right? Mm. And it would have all the things to get the streets, like the cars would play it. Like everybody in the hood would love that song, right?
Yeah.
He would get them in by that song. The next song he would drop would be Brenda's Got a Baby.
Yeah, yeah.
He got a message to it. Then he would drop Ambitions as a Rider. And then he would hit you with Keep Your Head Up.
Yeah.
Hit you with Hit Him Up. And then he would hit you with Changes.
Yeah.
Then he hit you with Two of America's Most Wanted. Then Dear Mama. So Many Tears. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He would always do that. Like, go back and look at the pattern. It was get them to listen to like the stuff they want to hear, and then get them to listen to the message.
Yeah, true.
And he did that on purpose, man. And people missed that. Until finally, you know, Easy Mo B and some of his producers finally said, well, look, this is what he was trying to do. And I just thought that was genius, man. I feel like I would have got along with Tupac.
No, Tupac seemed like a cool dude. I just think, like, for real, like, his downfall, the gift and the curse, he got the rage part of him. But Suge put the gas on him, man, and wouldn't let him be chill. You know what I'm saying? Like, he fed into it. He saw, like, what it was doing. Like, it was, like, every time, like, you know, Tupac spats, he saw, like, I mean, it's probably equivalent to going viral now, but stuff was going viral. It was in all the magazines. It was blowing up. It was on whatever rap show. You know what I'm saying? So he saw that. I think he knew, like, he was such a cash cow. So he just fed into it. And it was making him so much money and Tupac money as well. But he wouldn't let him. Suge was so gangster. He would never turn off the gangster mode. That was part of Suge's demise as well. For real, but I think that's what hurt Tupac. I think once Tupac in the movie, it seemed like, and seeing stuff, like he was ready to break away from Suge, but Suge wasn't gonna let that happen.
That was his cash cow. But you know what? You know what Tupac turned into? He turned into Bishop from Juice.
He did. He really did.
He
really did morph into Bishop.
That is crazy. So crazy, right? If you think about it. Neil, do you know who Bishop from Juice is?
No.
Man, hey, listen. we got some work for you to do, okay? You got to watch Belly. You got to watch Juice. Juice is really good. Like,
it actually is.
It's a really good movie. Tupac played a character called Bishop, Neil, and he was just wild. And Tupac literally turned into that character. And I think he got caught up in playing. What was the guy who played the Joker in Batman and pretty much turned into?
Yeah.
Shoot, I just forgot it.
Heath Ledger. Yeah.
He turned into the Joker and died.
Yeah.
Like he kind of fell in. That's crazy how, like, you know, some of these actors, you know, turn into the actual characters they play. But I really feel like Tupac did that. But I just thought I think he's a fascinating study of a person. And like any documentary or anything that comes out on him, I watch them all. Like, I love his music too. Like, and a little fun fact for you. My last year playing for the Bearcats, the Machiavelli album was the theme to our entire season. Like, we listened to Machiavelli all the time.
Nice.
Everybody. Ken, and we would listen to Hail Mary, like all of them, like that was our album. Like I've always loved Tupac's music. That's the one guy I said probably in history I would have loved to have met, just kind of chopped it up with and talked to him about his vision, because I tell you what he kind of what like meeting why I want to meet him reminds me of when I met the first time when I met Floyd Mayweather and like spent a whole day with him, you know, and people see what Floyd Mayweather, they see the cars, the money, the flash, the talk. Man, that's not even him at all. Like in person, like when all the cameras off, he is such a nice, smart person. Like, you know, there's all that stuff about he can't read and this and that. Like, all that stuff is an act to sell tickets, to keep people interested in him, to sell fight tickets. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if you were to chop it up with him, he was just such – he's such a cool – and the second time I was around him, we actually got to talk a little bit about business and some business stuff. And, man, he's an impressive dude, man. So I feel like Tupac would have been that same way for me. Like, you see this thug image, you know, the thug life, which he promoted. But then you get to see the really the inner workings of the person. And it just – I don't know. I feel like there are a lot of people like that in history, but – that's my guy. That's the one I'm going with. So I'm Tupac. Neil, you're going with Will Chamberlain, Derek Jeter, and JT's got Halle Berry for some personal reasons. Yeah. And Yield and Malcolm X.
Yeah.
You know who you should have said, JT?
Who?
Lil B.
Yeah, that'd have been fire. I could meet Lil B one day. I still think it could happen.
I'm sure he's probably chilling somewhere in the corner.
Base God, man.
I'm sure he'll be at Bogart's performing at some point soon.
He definitely got to be at Bogart's one time. It'll probably be like a $15 ticket, but I'll be there. Base God probably have more people in there than you think, though. That's the crazy thing.
That is true. I feel like he'd have that little niche crowd. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like, it'll be more than you think. Like, you would think, like, I'm just going to walk in there. I'm going to be, like, super close to the stage. And then, like, I'll just probably meet Base God because he'll probably have to, like, he'll just be out there. But, nah, it'll probably be, like, hella young people that we don't think listen to him, like, getting hit to Base God. It'd be crazy. It'd probably be packed Bogarts.
Be more people at Bogarts than an ECU game.
Yep. I think Lil B could do more numbers than ECU with no promotion.
The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. Visionary Cleaners is a locally owned company by former Bearcats student athletes. They specialize in high quality commercial cleaning of businesses, apartment, and pre and post construction cleans. They can be reached at 513-388-7816 or contact online at visionarycleaners.com. Fellas, this concludes another great podcast. Thanks to all of our sponsors, Donahue Accounting Services, Smart Dog Solutions, Greg Hood and the Beachmont Toyota, and Visionary Cleaners. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services. A leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio, our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online DonahueAccountingService.com. This concludes another episode of the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast. We want to thank all the Bearcat fans for all the support and listening. Go Bearcats!